Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're going to learn about recreation therapy and creative arts from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and then we'll check in with the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Kristen Powell is the Recreation Therapy and Creative Arts Therapy Supervisor at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. She's worked at the Minneapolis VA since 2008, first as a recreation therapist in Polytrauma Transitional Rehabilitation Program before moving into an outpatient role. It is there that she continues her passion to educate and empower veterans through adaptive sports and recreation. Kristen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on the call today.
Yeah, wonderful to have you here in the studio and talk about recreation therapy. And I want to get into that, but maybe you can answer this question for me. What brought you to the Minneapolis VA?
Ooh, the ability to serve our veterans. I had a big passion for bringing adaptive sports and educating and reaching out to more people. It's very empowering when you're doing things that you love. You love leisure activities. You love sports events. Participating in those things makes you feel good. They're all feel-good things, and I just really had a passion to serve our veterans. And I had worked in the private sector, actually, before for 10 years, before getting into the VA.
Okay, so you get to have your passion, you get to take care of veterans, and we appreciate that. So thank you for what you do to serve our veterans over at the Minneapolis VA. So let's talk about recreation therapy, creative arts therapy. Give us kind of a rundown. What is all of that?
Yeah, it's utilizing things like your leisure activities or your recreational activities, hobbies, arts, writing, music, all of those things that fit into those categories. It's utilizing those as modalities in the treatment that we provide. We work on evidence-based clinical practice treatment. It's driven by goals that the veterans have. We work with them on formulating goals and hitting different benchmarks through their rehab journey.
And so when a veteran is going to sit down with you or somebody on your team and they're like, hey, I want to know a little bit about this recreational therapy, do you kind of like have an interview process or something to figure out what it is that they're really interested in, see if you have a program in place that might be able to support them and their journey to getting more recreation or getting more active?
Yeah. A lot of times we'll say, what is it that you want to do? What can you not do since you've maybe had a physical injury or, you know, challenges in your mental health? You know, what were you doing before that you miss doing? Or what is new that you might want to try doing again? How do we get you there? You know, do we connect you with different resources? Do you need specific adaptive equipment to be able to do those things again? Do you no longer have the use of an arm or leg? And so we need to get you modified equipment to be able to successfully do that. We really want our veterans to, we joke and say, we want to be driven out of a job eventually. We want to be able to get them to do these things as independently as possible so they can, you know, resume again, their passion, the things that they love, these things are really important to them.
It sounds like what you really want to try to do is remove some barriers,
absolutely,
right? And maybe not talk about what I can't do, but talk about what I want to do or what I would like to be able to do, and then we figure out a way to make that happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we work really closely in these treatment teams. So the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, speech is involved. A lot of times we co-treat out in the community. So we take the skills that we've worked on in the hospital, and then we put those into real life. We might practice getting on the light rail for the first time and going down, you know, or going over to the mall. We might be working on things that are more complex, like pathfinding and getting around. Things that a lot of times we all take for granted, but can be very challenging when you've sustained any type of injury.
I know that we'll talk about the wheelchair games a little bit later on in this segment or the next segment, but I remember interviewing some of the athletes that were involved in that. And one of the athletes was talking about how, you know, they had a passion for, you know, fill in the blank sport, but they had given up on it once they had the injury that they received and they felt like they could no longer do it. And then all of a sudden, they found out about recreational therapy and the games. And next thing you know, they're able to do that sport that they had a lot of passion for. And they thought that they could never do it again in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's nothing greater, like I said, to see somebody back on a surfboard, on a set of skis, you know, playing wheelchair softball. And they thought my injury, that was the end. And I was no longer going to be able to do these things.
So I think that we can, you know, understand really recreational therapy, right? I mean, I think of sports, but it's more than sports. It's getting outside. It's the hiking. It's, you know, doing some of those types of things. But when we talk about creative arts therapy, is it just sitting down with a pad of paper and a pen and drawing or paints or something? Or is there more to it when we talk about creative arts?
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. We do songwriting, we do drumming, we do photography, we do writing, as you spoke about, we do art. Anything that is creative, anything that is musical, and taps into that whole different, I'd say, kind of side of your brain, right, that gives you this ability to explore. For some people, they aren't athletic, right? So the adaptive sports thing might not be their thing. For some people, it's more of this creative outlet. Mm-hmm. So we have the ability to utilize all of those things with some of our really talented therapists.
And the things that we're talking about, is this stuff that then takes place at the Minneapolis VA? Or do you have other partners that you work with to help bring some of this adaptive type therapy to our veterans?
Yeah, a lot of the adaptive sports programs that we do, or even workshops, are held in the community. Some of them are brought to the VA and held on site. So we partner with a lot of different great organizations, Team River Runner, PGA Hope, all of the different ones that are, I mean, there's a lot out there. Three Rivers Park District, they help. Sometimes they have the equipment and more resources and staffing to help us. And then we really bring our veterans out there. We know what their treatment goals are. We know what their adaptive needs are. And so we can work with them one-on-one to meet those needs.
So I know that you're not the only one over there that is doing this. So you have to have a team of people. I don't know if they're all therapists, but what kind of composition do you have on your team to help support our veterans as when we talk about all of this adaptive type therapy and creative art therapy?
Yeah, at the Minneapolis VA, we have 15 recreational therapists. We have one art therapist, two music therapists, and one in which is also board certified in dance. And they work in different programs, in our polytrauma programs, inpatient and outpatient, in our mental health programs, in our community living center. We're actually out in the medical foster home and home-based primary care. So we have a wide band that we're reaching of veterans in these different programs.
And so when we talk about this team and this band of people out and about, all of the different things that you can do, you know, that's not something that, I'm not educated in this area, but it doesn't seem like it's something that's unique to a traditional organization that's providing a recreational therapy or adaptive type of services. So other than serving veterans, what are some of the things that really make the Minneapolis VA stick out or your team stick out in the services that you can provide that maybe traditionally others cannot?
Yeah, traditionally in private sector, there isn't the opportunity to necessarily prescribe or issue adaptive sports equipment. And so if we're working with a veteran and they need some piece of adaptive equipment for a loss of function, you know, they might have, like I said, might need a monoski, or somebody that plays wheelchair sports might need a specific sports wheelchair. We have the ability to prescribe adaptive sports and rec equipment, which is fantastic. I didn't have that opportunity in private sector before coming to the VA.
And is this something typically where, you know, obviously the veterans being seen at the Minneapolis VA, is there a cost generally associated with some of this adaptive type of equipment, or is it really just individual case dependent?
It's case dependent, but it is part of their prescribed, just like we prescribed regular wheelchairs or other type of equipment that they may need for their activities of daily living. It is part of their treatment plan.
All right. So, I mean, that's one positive thing then. Let's not limit and believe that because we have this disability, it's, you know that there's a venue or an avenue through the VA where you could potentially get some of this prescribed and get that equipment you need so you can continue to be out and about doing some recreation and not sitting on the sideline thinking you'll never do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's got to be kind of interesting, a nice smile to see on a veteran's face when you can say something like, no, I think we can do that for you, and then you find a way to do it.
Right. To empower. There's something to being able to empower our veterans. Again, you feel like you've had loss and things you can't do anymore. You're injured. And educating them about these organizations and these different resources that we have, and then providing them with the right equipment and seeing them back down on the ski hill or wherever, you know, playing a wheelchair sports activity. There's a lot to that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that and then some of the upcoming events that I know that you're excited about.
Very excited.
So please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I have Kristen Powell in the studio with me. She's the Recreation Therapy, Creative Arts Therapy Supervisor out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Kristen, before we went into break, you know, we were talking about some great things. And one of the advantages that your department has, or the Minneapolis VA has, is as they're working with their veterans, some of the equipment to help them to be adaptive to whatever that recreation is that they want to do could potentially be prescribed. So how does that really kind of work? I mean, what does that process look like?
Yeah, a lot of times our veterans are in a program, a specific rehab program, whether it's brain injury program, amputee program, stroke, they're getting services. And so the therapist or the physician puts in a consult for us. We meet with the veteran. We do a full assessment. We're bringing in those other interdisciplinary players to this. The physical therapist might need to look at specific seating or positioning based on the type of equipment. Some of the equipment that we need to issue or order is very specific. We're looking for pressure points, the way they're sitting, and maybe a monoski. So those are the things. Some of them are more specialized. We also have done things like hand cycles or recumbent bikes if they have balance issues.
So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
We didn't talk about this yet.
Sure.
But, you know, in your time at the Minneapolis VA, specifically working with recreation therapy, is there something that just sticks out in your mind where, like, I am so glad we're able to take care of this or help this veteran out to adapt something, some tool, some gadget or whatever to help them to do the thing that they wanted to do, that passion?
Yeah, I've had the privilege of seeing a veteran go from coming in and being in a coma, ultimately not responsive, to coming out of that through our inpatient TBI polytrauma program into outpatient, where I was able to work with her, and then being able to issue her a recumbent cycle. And she didn't have use of an upper extremity, and she had to have specific pedals on so that her feet would stay on, and then she's out riding a bike again once again.
I mean, that's just got to be a great thing to be able to help somebody. And then again, as I mentioned before, you know, seeing that joy in that veteran's eyes or on their face, that they're doing something that they really, really love doing.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that working with the veterans to create these opportunities, this has got to be really good for just overall mental well-being as well.
It is. Recreation therapy, a lot of what we do works on not only the physical abilities, but also the social, you know, the psychological, the cognitive, things like playing, you know, people think about playing cards or doing crossword puzzles or word finds, which are also leisure activities as well. But they work on things like attention and scanning or visual, if people have visual impairments. People think oftentimes bingo is just bingo. You know, I'm just playing bingo. It's fun. But there's a lot of actual attention that goes into playing bingo and tracking numbers and scanning on your cards and things like that. There's therapy behind every activity or goal-directed, treatment-driven task that we're choosing.
And you got to be careful with bingo because sometimes it can get pretty physical.
Right.
Especially
right.
when you're waiting on that last number and someone calls
that
it right
big coverall,
it.
Right.
Oh, boy, yeah, you don't want to do that. I'm sure we don't have any problems like that out at the Minneapolis
VA. No. Not at all.
Oh, that's good. All right, let's talk about something coming up. You mentioned off air that there's a local creative arts competition.
Yep.
I'm wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about that, what that is, when it is, and really what it entails.
Yeah, veterans that are enrolled in our VA care are invited to participate in the Minneapolis VA Creative Arts Competition. It's an opportunity to gain recognition for your creative accomplishments. This is an annual event that we do every year. It will be hosted this year, Monday, September 8th through Thursday, September 11th. We'll put a call of submission for artwork, creative writing. We'll be taping performances that veterans submit starting around the end of May and June. And it really highlights that creative element that a lot of our veterans have.
And where can someone find out about this?
Yeah, it's on our website. Okay. So they can go to the website. If they have more questions, they can also call the Center for Development and Civic Engagement at 612-467-2050.
So the easiest thing probably is just to Google the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Absolutely.
Go there and get more information on the Creative Arts Competition, a great opportunity for our veterans to showcase their creativity as it relates to the arts. That's awesome. All right, so we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to talk about some of the national veterans sports programs and then different special events. We know we're going to talk about the wheelchair games because you're hosting, but let's talk first about some of the other national events, and then we'll finish up with the wheelchair games.
Absolutely. So the VA hosts, and we deliver, we have six different national veteran sports programs and special events. It is directed sports medicine. These are large opportunities for veterans to come together. They are hosted in different, three of them stay in specific sites. So the winter sports clinic happens in Snowmass, Colorado every year. The summer sports clinic happens in San Diego. And then the Disabled Veterans Golf Clinic happens down in Riverside, Iowa. And then we have three that move. We have the National Veterans Golden Age Games. And that will be in Memphis, Tennessee that this year. That is for any veteran that is over 55 that gets VA health care. So there's not a specific eligibility criteria for that one. I want to include really reach out to veterans that are listening. If you are over 55 and you have interest in participating in the National Veterans Golden Age Games, that's a great one. And then the other ones that move are the Creative Arts Festival. So once you participate here locally and you place, then you can move on and then actually be part of a show. It's almost like going to the Grammys or going to an award show. We really get to showcase our local first place winners, which is fantastic. And then, as you said, the wheelchair games, which is also going to be moves around as well.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail here, but just a question about, you know, these national clinics. If a veteran is being seen here at the Minneapolis VA and they want to participate in these things, is this an individual thing? Is there like, does the Minneapolis VA kind of like sponsor them to help them to get there, to pay for the travel? What does that look like for those that want to participate?
Yeah, we sure do. We there are different type of scholarships that are involved that are for different events. We've had Fisher House Hero Miles helps with getting flights out for veterans. We have generous veteran service organizations that also help as well to contribute. And we really go as a team. So you aren't going to be going individually necessarily. You get to be on Team Minneapolis or Team Minnesota, and you are supported by recreational therapy coaches or physical therapists that are involved as well. We have different type of coaches. It's usually two per team. And we go out as a group and we participate in these different events. Every day is different. Again, very empowering.
And so if someone's interested, we'd want them to work with the Minneapolis VA.
Absolutely.
So you're tracking them and then go out as a team, because we know being together makes things a little bit better. So we do only have maybe a minute and a half, for sure less than 2 minutes. And I want to make sure we finish up on the wheelchair games. So we've been talking about it for quite a while. The director's excited about it. We talked to Melanie when she was down in New Orleans this past year. Todd Kemmery was on talking about it. This is a big deal.
This is a really big deal. So 20 years ago, back in 2005, was the last time we hosted, and we are bringing the wheelchair games back to Minneapolis they're here for a site visit this week, getting things checked out and all the logistics figured out. It will happen July 17th through the 22nd, and we are looking for lots of volunteers.
So volunteers, and it's a wide gamut of volunteers.
It really is. It really is. So there's not days of commitment. It can be small 4 hours of commitment. There's different activities in different sports to help with. There's different parts of logistics and coordination. We're bringing veterans into the airport. We're getting them downtown to hotels. So we're really looking for anybody who has interest in volunteering. And we have two ways that you can contact through the National Veterans Wheelchair Games Volunteers. If you Google that, the address is nvwgvolunteers@va.gov, or you can visit wheelchairgames.org. Again, you can also call the Center for Development and Civic Engagement office at 612-467-2050, and we will have a place for you.
So wheelchairgames.org, and go there. I know that Minnesota Military Radio, we're going to be in coordination to record a couple of segments, hopefully out there, or maybe a full show and a half. We'll see how that works out and really showcase some of the athletes. So it's great to have it back here. And
yes.
I know that you're excited and everybody's excited to have the wheelchair games here. So with that, Kristen, thanks so much for coming in and sharing with us about recreational therapy and creative arts therapy. And I know that you're taking great care of our veterans, so I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doug.
All right. That is Kristen Paul from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, the Recreation Therapy and Creative Arts Therapy Supervisor. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
February 12, 1973, 52 years ago, was the beginning of Operation Homecoming. 591 American prisoners of war were released from Vietnam. More than 500,000 Americans have been captured and interned as prisoners of war since the American Revolution. Prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of the very freedom they fought to defend at the hands of their captors. We take time to remember and pay respect to the POWs who, through circumstances of war beyond their control, have been held captive by enemy forces. They have endured one of the greatest challenges one can face, the loss of personal liberty. Let us vow to never forget the sacrifices POWs and their families have made for our freedom.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Established in 2010, the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is one of over 50 community networks within the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program that supports Minnesota's veterans, service members, and military families in all branches. Tom Newman, a Navy veteran, has been active in the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon for nearly a decade and currently serves as the president. And Steve Bruce is one of the many civilian members supporting the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and has been active in the group for 8 years. Tom and Steve, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thank you.
All right, awesome. Well, Tom, I'm going to start with you first. Thank you for your service. We appreciate that. The Navy, what brought you to the Navy?
My folks.
Your
my
folks
uncle,
said you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. No. No, more so it was a family tradition.
Okay. All right. And what did you do in the Navy?
I was a congressional liaison officer, military manpower analyst, quota control manager, and anything else my admiral wanted me to do.
That's pretty much the way it always works. And now you you stay connected to our military community as the president at the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And maybe we can just start there. Back in 2010, how did the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon come into existence?
I ended up calling the first president, and I asked him, what possessed you to get involved in this? And he said, we just saw the need in the community, and being what we believe the second unit that started, Farmington being the first, they got it rolling. A friend of mine invited me to one of their dinners, and here I am.
Here you are, now the president. And, you know, with Rosemount and Farmington so close to each other, you know, there's a little competition, I would imagine, going on down there, too.
A lot of coordination.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about, you know, some of the ways that the two networks have worked together. And it's really about finding a way to serve those in our community. And it doesn't really matter who provides that service, as long as we can help that military member, their family, or dependent.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So, Steve, all right. So, you know, 14 years, what's the biggest need, do you think, over that time that you've spent in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon in Rosemount? What have you really seen as a biggest need?
Rosemount is a growing community. We're growing fast, and our veteran population is increasing. We also have an aging veteran population. So one of the things that we're constantly pushing towards is awareness, making sure people are aware that we are there. Like any Beyond the Yellow Ribbon chapter, what makes us unique is we're an immediate source of assistance, and people can reach out to us. We can provide them with means that otherwise would take a lot of red tape, if you will, to get through.
And all right, so you want to remove the red tape. You want to help people. You know, really, what is your you know, how do you drive towards really addressing those challenges, though? I mean, what kinds of things are you doing to create that awareness so that people know that you're there and available?
Last year, we had 24 events in our community. That's a great way. We also work very closely with Rosemount Police Department, Fire Department. They carry our resource cards. If they encounter a veteran in time of need, they'll refer them to us. So last year, we had a couple references to us through the police department, various calls that they made. We work closely with VFW and so on. VFW called us recently with a veteran whose furnace went out. So these are the types of things that we do to make those connections.
And do you find that you're not necessarily trying to be the one-all problem solver for everything and anything? Is it really more about the relationships and the connections that you make to find that service or someone else that might be able to provide the service or fulfill that need better than you could?
Yeah, it takes a community. We had a veteran last year that was referred to us by Community 360. He was getting food assistance. We found out he was disabled. He didn't know there was a VA benefit for disability. So we connected him with the Dakota County Veteran Service Officer, was able to get him signed up with that benefit. In the meantime, we paid for some utilities, and we provided some extra things that they needed just within their household.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing still today the number of our veterans that haven't connected with a county veteran service officer yet. And that's one thing we talk about on this show all the time is that should be one of your first stops. If you haven't talked to a county veteran service officer, get there because of exactly the same things you're talking about right there. Understand what benefits you might be eligible for and then take advantage of those benefits because you've earned them. All right. So, Tom, you're a Navy veteran. And again, we appreciate that. You're also the president. You know, you served your time in our military. You're serving your time as the president down there. But what does it mean to you to be able to still be involved with an organization like this that's trying to give back to those who have served?
You feel good when you see somebody in the position of need that you could help. I grew up in the Rosemount community, and when you end up seeing the resources that we have at our disposal— it's great, and the community support we have is great.
Yeah, and it has to be a community effort, you know, as Steve said too, right? I mean, you can't do everything, but you have to have the support of your community. Otherwise, you just can't do really anything. You know, someone's got to be there to say, yes, I think I can do that or I want to do that. And then it's important to know who to call, isn't it?
When we have a group of people, group of companies that we end up going to, they can help with the electrical. They can help with a furnace. They can help with auto repair.
And, you know, again, having those relationships, extremely important. And so, Tom, a lot of organizations out there that, you know what, they're looking for volunteers. They're looking for partners, too. They're struggling to find that. What do you do inside of the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon to help you with maintaining a good volunteer or supporting pool?
When we end up having a program that we want to start or it's an existing program, Steve puts the word out through our social media and invites people to come. And it's a simple one task. And they see what they like. They come on back, and then we have more members. Right now, I think we have probably 20 people that come to our monthly meeting. And when we have an event, like our golf event, we'll have 40 volunteers, and everybody in the yellow ribbon is working there on Sunday night and Monday during the tournament.
And so, Steve, you put the call out. It must feel pretty good to get, you know, the responses that you do from the community, the organizations, the volunteers.
Yeah, we took a page from Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and we packed care packages for soldiers in Jordan. So we put the word out. We had 40 people show up. It's amazing how quickly you can pack 60 care packages with 40 volunteers. It doesn't take long at all.
Yeah, I bet. And so probably many reasons, you know, seeing people come together. But is there something that you can describe of just of how it feels for you or what it means to you to be a part of the Yellow Ribbon organization?
It's very meaningful anytime that you help someone. And in that regard, anytime that we get a volunteer to come alongside, they have that same experience. We shop for meals for National Guard soldiers at Thanksgiving and at Christmas, and we always bring in new volunteers. We go into a shopping center and we shop for groceries. We're in and out in 45 minutes. We pack up, you know, 20, 30 meals. But they immediately start telling us about family members that are connected to the military. They immediately show that they want to get more involved. So it's just a constant outreach is what it amounts to.
All right, excellent. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about other events and things that are coming up with the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We're speaking with Tom Newman and Steve Bruce from the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Tom Newman and Steve Bruce are in the studio with me. We're talking about the Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And Steve, I want to come back to you on this. You know, it takes a lot of work to become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon entity. And, you know, this isn't a once and done. I mean, I know you're continuing to get requests. You're still working with the community. But there has to be some goodness that comes out of it. There's the feel good that you guys both talked about in the last segment. So there's somebody out there, maybe it's a company, maybe it's another community that hasn't gotten on board yet, and they're listening to you right now, and they're thinking, oh, this might be way too much for us to take on. But what would you say to somebody who might be even thinking about this consideration?
Getting started is always the hardest part, but there's 53 Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks in the state that all do the same thing. Find one or two that are adjacent to you, have a conversation, find out how they got started. From our own personal experience, inviting one person to one activity, getting them involved, inviting them to the next, have them feel that same experience for helping others. It takes off like wildfire.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there, right? You don't have to do it alone in your community. There are several that are a regional type of a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon network because, you know, they want to bring a larger group together and provide the services to our military service members, their dependents. So that's good. Yeah, so they should do it. At least check into it. And who knows, you get this good feeling that I know both of you have. So in the last just couple of minutes, Steve, I'll stick with you. You know, you've been in the organization for a long time, and I'm assuming you're going to be around for a few more years anyway, involved in the organization. So what do you see is kind of on the horizon for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon as it relates to the Rosemount community?
In addition to serving those that need our service, it's a continual effort to make sure the community gets engaged, involved, aware. We do everything from chili cook-offs to free family bowling events. We'll participate in the Rosemount Expo coming up. We have pizza and pasta nights. We'll be involved in Memorial Day. One major activity this year in Rosemount Central Park, June 10th, Patriots in the Park. We'll have thousands of people there, food trucks, beer tents, JT and the Gunslingers live band on stage, bingo hall, great way for us to honor veterans as well as get the word out to the community in terms of what Beyond the Yellow Ribbon does.
And if you make sure that you give all of those details to us, we can throw a mention on the show too and help to get more veterans to show up at that big event. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, these events, the things that you do, takes a little bit of money too. You need volunteers. You need some fundraising. So where would someone go if they want to help donate?
What you'll do is you'll Google Rosemount Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. On there, you'll find an opportunity to provide a donation. Tom led us in starting a Salute the Troops golf tournament, a fantastic tournament we have every year. It's August 11th this year. That's our main source of funding. We put hundreds and hundreds of hours into that. 144 golfers last year. We had 95 sponsors. If you're a business, if you're an individual and you'd like to provide a sponsorship, there's opportunities there as well.
Awesome. All right, Tom, final word is for you. You get 15 seconds. What do you want to say?
It's a great organization. Walk in, get your feet wet, and enjoy the results.
And once you come for that first time, my guess is you get hooked and you want to keep coming back because you get to see the impact you make on the veterans in your community.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. All right. Well, Tom Newman, Steve Bruce, thanks both of you for coming into Minnesota Military Radio, spending some time with us here in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Calling in from the Minnesota National Guard is the Senior Enlisted Advisor Army, Command Sergeant Major Jason Rost. CSM Rost, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Doug. It's a privilege to be on today.
Well, great to have you. Good to hear your voice. It's been a while since I've seen you. So right here on the air, I'm going to put it out there that I'd love to get an opportunity to get together and have breakfast again. I think we need to get that on the calendar.
That's fantastic. I'm all in.
Perfect. But before we could spend all day talking about that stuff, but let's talk about some other stuff that's a little bit more important, and that is our Minnesota National Guard, some of the things that are going on within the Guard. And, you know, you're the Senior Enlisted Advisor Army, so I know that you concentrate on and focus really on the things going on with the Army National Guard. And I think one of the big things that recently took place with the Minnesota Army National Guard is the fact that our 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls, recently returned from a deployment in the Middle East. And I thought maybe you could just talk a little bit about them and their reintegration and kind of what's going on with the 34th ID now that they've come home.
Yeah, you bet. Well, that's fantastic. As you know, we had almost right around 600 to 650 service members who were serving the past year, most of 2024, in the Middle East. And most of them were able to return home here in the early part of December. And we've just completed their first reintegration event, which is really a deliberate way that we as a state wrap our arms around those soldiers and their families. So they reintegrate back into civilian life, back into their careers, back into their families, and back into their communities. So this was a fantastic opportunity that we had here at the end of January to really meet with those service members and their families for the first time since they returned home in early December.
The reintegration events, you know, they've been taking place for quite a while now. Obviously, I'm familiar with them from my time in service. But Sergeant Major, how important is it to have reintegration? And as you said, you know, put eyes on or hands on our soldiers for the first time in what might have been 30 days or 45 days?
So as a senior enlisted advisor and an enlisted soldier, I can tell you that I believe it's very important. You know, part of leadership and how we show we care is by having opportunities to have face-to-face communication. And when we integrate the families into that process, as our soldiers have come back from an overseas tour or any type of training away from their families, it's really important that the families know that that support structure is there for them as well. So these reintegration events provide us a very deliberate opportunity to connect families with not only resources, but with each other so that they can go through this process together and really be integrated back into society in a healthy way.
And how many reintegration events would typically take place for, you know, like, for example, the 34th ID coming back? I know it's more than one, but what does that look like?
So we have two primary reintegration events and then a welcome home or an initial drill period back with our units. And they usually happen about 30 days after the soldiers return home and then another 30 days after that. So a total of 60 and then 90 days is when they go back to their units.
And one of the things I think is really key that you mentioned is that the families are involved in this. And how important is that to get the families there? Because we know as a soldier who has deployed, when you come back, really you're not thinking about all of those resources, the other things that are available. But someone that probably is your spouse.
100%, Doug. And that's a very astute point. You know, as our adjutant general says, is that we enlist soldiers, but we retain families. We understand that what makes an individual strong through their life really is the foundation that exists with that family. So we want to ensure that we're communicating through our soldiers and directly to our families what resources are available, and to let them know they're not in this by themselves, but we're a community together, and we want to ensure everyone's success.
So we have about maybe 40 seconds here, and I do want to touch really quick. You know, you're still asking for people to become members of the Minnesota Army National Guard. So tell us, how's recruiting going, and what message would you have to people out there that are considering service?
You know, recruiting this year has been fantastic. I think we have seen a cultural shift where we have a lot of people who are excited about what the Minnesota Army National Guard has to offer. And I would encourage anybody who's interested to reach out to a local recruiter to find out ways that we can help them be successful in their own lives by offering the benefits that only the Minnesota Army National Guard can. And there's a great number that you can call. It's 800-464-8273, and they'll connect you with your local recruiter to provide you resources to learn more.
And as your tagline says, we live here, we work here, we serve here. What a great opportunity to serve in your community and support your community as well.
For sure. Thank you very much, Doug.
All right. That is Command Sergeant Major Jason Rost. He is the Minnesota National Guard Senior Enlisted Advisor for the Army. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we speak with a colonel from the Minnesota Air National Guard who recently retired, and we get an update about veterans health care from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.